This is TWiT.
First up is 9 new tactics to spread security awareness. You know, there are lots of ways to help make organizations more secure. One of them is a penetration test. The classic pen test is fabulous because it's a real world kind of simulation that goes in and finds out what's what with defenses and vulnerabilities. Many people have decried the fact that it's difficult to do phishing and spear phishing pen tests, but some recent examples show why that's hard. In a move that was criticized earlier this year, for example, newspaper giant Tribune Publishing sent out a phishing simulation to staff. The lure? Well, it was a promise of a bonus of between $5,000 and $10,000. When employees were instructed to log in to view your end-of-year bonus, they actually received a notification of enrollment in a computer security training program. What was the problem? Well, Tribune had recently laid off a bunch of people, so the survivors felt that this bonus lure wasn't as sensitive or as reasonable as it might have been. Perry Toon, who's founder of an email service firm, the XYZ, had a similar disastrous experience. They created a fake phishing site, he said, and encouraged users to click a link in the email. When they did, it informed the employee that they had failed this phony phishing test. Well, a lot of the employees saw the message come up and freaked out. They ended up spending more in calming down employees than they saved in real security. So you've got some bad ways to go about this. What are some good ways of adding to the security awareness of your firm? We've got several here. First up, make it a game. People love games. They realize that they're learning something real, but they're also having fun, and they are only so worried about, well, blowing up the production infrastructure. Games are great, especially when you pit groups against one another, teams against one another, or even individuals against the rest of the employees in the company. Number two, onboard employees with training. So catch them while they're fresh. That helps increase the perception that security is part of the culture of the organization. That's always good. And it also gets employees when they expect to spend some time in training. Number three, remove the stigma. Why everybody makes mistakes when it comes to security, especially if security is not their primary job. So making people aware without making them feel angry, upset, and depressed is a much better solution to getting them to be security allies rather than, well, let's face it, a tool for attackers to use. As part of that, consider your audience. So you want to make the training reasonable. You want to make it realistic, but you also want to target it toward your users. What do I mean by that? Well, every employee should undergo security training, but it's likely that developers should have different training than people on the marketing team. People who don't deal with sensitive information should have different training than employees in finance and HR. Tailor what you teach so that you don't end up making employees feel like you're wasting their time with things that they will never need in their daily job. As part of that, too, tailor the training to their age. Now, this doesn't mean that young people are inherently safer or that older people are inherently less safe. It means that each will tend to concentrate on different aspects of security, and each needs to be encouraged in different directions. There are other things. You know, older people tend to want to be respected, so they might not feel as comfortable admitting they made a mistake. They don't want to lose face. younger people are often much more interested in learning for learning's sake. After all, they're much closer to the experience of when that was their full-time job. You can use those facts to come in and help them learn more efficiently. Next up, make use of multiple media. You know, there are meetings, videos, podcasts, written materials, interactive things, games, all kinds of media. In the same way that we've talked about tailoring the content to different organizations and different groups within the company, tailor the medium to the particular part of the message. That helps prevent people from getting bored with what they're learning, and it helps make it more vibrant and more effective. Now, I mentioned developers a while back. You may absolutely want to make sure you embed security training for developers. Here on TWiET, we've talked about DevSecOps and SecDevOps and all of these other portmanteau words that mean building in security when you're building your applications. In order to do that, you have to have your developers trained on security, not just, though, for what they're making, but for the way that they're making it. Teaching them some of the warning signs of repositories, some of the warning signs of particular code libraries and applets. Let them know that you're watching and that they should care about these things. Finally, these days especially, bring the lessons home. That doesn't mean just finish with a big bang, but actually convince people that security has to start while they're working at home. No matter what their role in the organization is, they need to treat their home network and the systems they're working on at home with the same level of respect and security that they treated their systems and networks when they were sitting in the central office. Brian, I want to get to you. I know that you sleep, eat, drink, and breathe security. What do you think about these ideas? Do you hear any that strike you as silly, or do you think these are fairly solid?
Actually, this is one of the more well-written, well-researched articles I've seen on the topic. There's always a lot of, shall we say, victim shaming that tends to come with a lot of these links. I saw a few hot takes on the incident you described at Tribune Media, I believe it was, saying, you know, the users get what they get, right? They made the mistake, you know, and this is what the real world is like. This is how attackers would try to leverage an event like a layoff to create a phishing email that might be more effective in light of the circumstances. And, I think that's the wrong way to look at it, right? Sure, it's a more realistic attack, but creating this environment of shame and guilt and, creating this environment where suddenly the InfoSec team becomes the adversary in this scenario, right? That, you know, there's not a, you degrade the mutual respect. And so I really disagreed with those sort of, like I said, hot takes that said, oh, well, these users, they're the ones to blame, like they should stop crying. And it's like, that's not exactly how an InfoSec team really should be working to build trust with their user base. You want to instill programs where users feel free and feel proud to come forward saying, hey, maybe I clicked on something bad and you should know about this, rather than creating an environment of shame and guilt and stigma, as the article mentioned, where they'll be more likely to try to cover it up or hide it or ignore it and hope that nothing bad happens, right? So I think that's one of the key pieces I took there. I think the bring it home message too could be extended to say that these practices not only protect you and how you handle sensitive work information, but you can take these same skills into your personal life and protect your own personal information by what we're teaching you here. And I think that's a really important tip here, is to to enable people to say, this is not just about, you know, the company covering its own ass, but it's about enabling you because you're an internet citizen at work and you're an internet citizen at home. And the same safety practices, just like looking both ways to cross the street, doesn't matter whether you're on work time or personal time, that's a safe thing you should do all the time. That's what I'm thinking here. Teaching people how to be safe on the internet, it's a universal skill. It's a skill that goes across your whole, sort of living existence at this point, right? The internet is a utility, just like hot running water and electricity at this point. Some really good points there that I haven't seen brought up in a lot of other venues when talking about security awareness training.
You know, I love the idea that you were talking about to make the security group not be, well, as they were for so long, the department of no. The department that was seen as being the one group that was charged with making everyone less productive because they were always saying that you couldn't do stuff. Do you think that in some organizations it might be time to start making non-security team employees a more formal part of the security group? You know, in so many ways, things like fire drills, you'll have floor marshals and team marshals to help make sure that all of their coworkers are out and accounted for. You know, are there things that could be done to make people, say, security marshals to help their teams be more secure and be sort of a liaison between frontline teams and security teams?
That's a great idea, Kurt. I haven't heard that one before, but it's a great analogy, and it really does. When you deputize someone and say, this is your responsibility within your team, you know, help your teammates, you know, be more secure, be the liaison, that's the person that they know that they work with on a day-to-day basis that they can come to if they believe they've, had a security incident of some sort. You know, they feel they've got an infected attachment, or maybe I accidentally clicked on a bad link. Could you help me figure this out or report it? Embedding someone who's security minded in the team as a diplomat certainly, you know, is a great way to again extend a partnership with security. Let people know that the security team's here to protect the company and protect you as an individual user, right? That's an absolutely, you know, fantastic idea. I wish, you know, I'm going to steal that next time I'm talking to customers. That's absolutely something that is a good way to kind of build those bridges instead of, you know, as you said, being the department of no. And you know, in my prior life before F5, I was a member of such a department, and that was actually one of my mantras. I'm like, guys, gals on my team, I would say, hey, our job is to make people more productive. So let's figure out how to do that. When we used to plan for site reliability, we actually would reach out to different business stakeholders, right? We'd reach out to HR and finance and say, hey, what is it you would need? Like, let's walk through the smoking crater scenario. What do you need for us to get back up and running as quick as possible? And, you know, I maintained a small council of you know, line of business leaders who were invested in what our site reliability planning looked like from a data integrity perspective. And just that's in that same mode of thinking, having information security deputies or marshals within teams sounds like a fantastic idea.
Well, I'm in favor of anything that gets me a cool new ball cap issued by the company. So I think that's the way to go.